Hi, everybody.
My name is Corwin, and welcome to This Movie's Gay.
Ooh, almost messed up there. Corwinning. Guys, follow him at Corwinning on all the social medias.
I never post anything. Why are you telling people to follow me? Just kidding. You should follow me. I'll try to post more.
Corwin.
Why are you trying to sneeze?
Also, this isn't trying to sneeze. When you have your nose like... Okay, guys, right now I look like a little piggy because my sinuses are really... They feel, you know? So if I do that, I breathe better. I look like a little piggy.
It looks like you're trying to stop a sneeze.
Two fingers is stop a sneeze.
Two fingers?
Yeah, guys.
I just do one finger.
Whoa. Well, that's because my nostrils are a little more wide than yours. Ooh, that's a sexual reference.
Is it?
I mean, I'm saying like you're a one finger man and I'm a two finger man.
Oh. James is loose.
Oh, guys, I just like it rough. I don't know, Corwin.
I don't know either.
We're getting already sexy sensual.
Sexy.
Saucy.
Didn't
erotic.
Didn't we have another one?
Yeah, it was erotic
No. All of them started with an S.
No. Erotic and what was the other one? I need to re-listen to that episode. Actually, I know you recently listened to it. Eric from Ranger Command, please let us know. He's finally caught up.
He's all caught up.
Guys,
hey, Eric, what's up?
If you're a fan listening through to all of the episodes, give us updates. And when you're done, we'll tell your friggin' social media stuff and give you a shout out at Ranger Command PH on Twitter.
Tweet at us about old episodes, because then I look at it and I'm like, wait, what the fuck was I saying?
Eric's been doing that in DMs.
And I love it.
I have no idea what you're saying, dude.
I have no idea what you're saying. And I love it. Like we talked about Star Trek, that Star Trek Enterprise, was it?
I don't know.
With Scott Bakula. I just love Scott Bakula. And he was in the Geography Club.
Oh.
So he mentioned Scott Bakula. And I was like, wait, what? What? And then I was like, oh, Geography Club. I know what you're talking about. It was great. It was a wonderful moment for me to remember one of our previous episodes.
The only thing that I can remember of things that he brought up was the attack ad that I did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You sent a screenshot of it to me, and I directly sent it to Brooke, our guest from that week.
Brooke, when are you coming back on?
Whenever she has time, she will definitely come back on.
She's busy as hell. That's what I'm reading. Or she doesn't care for us.
Or I'm busy as hell.
Hail.
And I I'm busy, y'all. It's hard.
Guys,
that's it.
I don't know. I'm having a shit week. I don't even want to talk about
it. I just gave him a hug.
Because I was crying.
I never do that. I don't give James hugs.
You've given me one, I think.
It's weird. Some people I'll give a hug all the time to, and then some people I'm like not hugging, and it's not any bearing on what I think of them or my relationship with them. There are just some people that I'm like, they need a hug. I'm going to give them a hug. And then there are other people that I'm like, they don't need a hug.
They just need a firm handshake and say, it's going to be fine.
And I feel like, you're one of the firm handshake ones for the most part. But then I was like, I got to give you a hug.
If I'm crying in front of you, if you were to walk up to me and say, I think you need a firm handshake.
I think you need a firm handshake,
I would have taken it.
I know. I know you would have, but that was for my own benefit. I'm like, you need a hug.
Hey, guys, if you're listening to this and you want to know why I was crying, don't want to talk about it.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
So
don't at him. Don't at him.
Or ask me.
Or ask him.
Also, our Twitter is at This Movie's Gay. It made it seem like at Ranger Command PH was. No. That's Eric's podcast.
Yeah, Eric. He will listen to all our episodes recently. Yeah. It's amazing.
Ooh, and keep those listens coming. We're doing great.
That's beautiful. I love all of our listeners.
Yeah.
I love everyone listening.
People are listening to the back catalog.
Beautiful.
Consistently.
Listen to me rant about random things and queer
issues. You want
to know what's
odd? Vampire Boys, that episode consistently gets like, I don't know, 7 plays a week.
It's actually me playing it 7 times every day.
Please stop doing that. Or at least tell me you're going to do that so I will put ads on it so then we can make 1 penny each listen.
It's not me. Whoever's doing that, whoever's listening, I'm proud of you.
Yes. Thank you for listening. And please message us, thismoviesgay@yahoo.com, or if you're on Twitter or Instagram, @thismoviesgay. We want to hear from you.
Oh, God, I forgot we had an email.
Yeah.
That's all, James. I'm on the Instagram. James and I are both on the Twitter. James is the email. We need to make other social medias, I guess.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No, Facebook is dead.
Social media.
Okay, that's on you, dude.
That's on me. It's on me. And I suck at social media, so that's that. That's that on that.
I like Twitter because it's very easy with TweetDeck to use multiple accounts, but...
Yeah, I just have my phone, so I keep having to flip back and forth between the accounts. So there have definitely been a couple of times where I'm like scrolling and liking things. I'm like, wait, I'm on the wrong Twitter.
Yeah. It's insane that TweetDeck doesn't have an app. It just seems so like, just do this.
Well, Twitter, it's easy to switch back and forth. Like, I have both the accounts on there. I just have to go and like hit a couple buttons to do it. But
it's still annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying.
You want to know what's very annoying? Anchor, how we do all the podcasts. They need to be able to combine accounts because I'm just constantly having to log out, log into a new one, keep doing that to see plays.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, I think last week we did our biggest numbers. We had like 203 listens in 1 week.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
203 people listened to us talk.
Yeah, baby.
In 1 week.
I think...
Or 203 plays were made. There might have been not 203 people. It might have been.
That would be weird if just 203 people listened to one episode.
Some people listened to multiple episodes, which is still lovely.
Like Eric Barry of Ranger Command Power Hour.
And if you want us to shout you out, tell us how much you're listening. We'll shout you out. We'll talk about it.
And guess what? We can see numbers. If 1 week you're like, I listened to all 43, and we are like, we didn't get that many plays.
I mean, we've been consistently getting over 43 plays, I think.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I don't think we would be able to say, no, you haven't.
Yeah, no. We've been consistently over 100. It's great, guys. Marshland Media, I think, might have broke 500 last week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it all together between this, Hit It and Crit It, Mostly Speaking Sentai, What the Hell Mouth, and speaking of what's the movie this week?
I was about to say something because we're like 8 minutes in and we've done nothing.
Yeah, I thought we were way more into this. It's going to be a short episode because, like I said, I'm having
a terrifying week. And I'm also just really having a busy week as well. And I'm actually going into work later, getting some overtime.
Whoa, OT, baby.
Yeah, it's a lot. This week we watched the movie Slash from 2016. Not to be confused with other movies named Slash. This one is Slash as in Slash Fiction.
Yeah.
Talking about fan fiction, y'all.
Fan fiction with sex.
With sex. Erotic fan fiction.
That's what Slash fic is.
Yeah. We made a mistake. I made a mistake. This should have been an episode that we got guests from for either little Corey,
Courtney
from Hit It and Crit It, or Courtney or Monse from I'll Get There. We should have had one of them on this.
Or TC. Or TC wrote fan fiction.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's written fan fiction at some point.
I guess Derms Clerman is fan fiction. It's just my OC in a world of fan fiction.
I've definitely written fan fiction. You'll see none of it. None of that will be published ever.
I've also written like holiday fan fiction for Mostly Speaking Sentai.
Holiday fan fiction just reminds me of there's a thing that I follow every year. It's like your holiday mom or something like that. It was made for like LGBT people that don't have good family support during the holidays and stuff so that they feel like loved and welcome. So it's basically all these moms or people that want to be mothers and things like that. And I think a couple fathers maybe, I don't know, but they just write a letter to you and it's addressed like ambiguously, but it's just like, hey, you know, this is what we would be doing on Christmas Day or it's coming up on Christmas. It's like a couple weeks away. So, you know, you would help dad with the decorations because he always needs someone to help hold the ladder for him so it doesn't fall off the roof and like just all the super sweet things. So I always sign up for it because I do have, you know, family and all of that. And my mom is supportive of Christmas and shit like that. But there's just something different about having this, your holiday mom. It's just very loving.
We should do something like that, but incorporate the fans where maybe they send in some voicemails of saying, like, what they wish they could say to their parents who they don't talk to. Or, I don't know, give words of wisdom to anyone who's listening who could be in that situation.
If you want a note from me for Christmas, just let me know. I'll give you a note.
Oh, let's do a holiday letter at the end of the year.
Let's do it.
I do very much want to do like an 8-person record for Mostly Speaking Sentai for either Thanksgiving or the end of the year.
Yes. I'm always down to record more things with my voice. I need more practice using my voice on the microphone.
Oh man, 8 mics is going to be a lot.
That would be a lot.
I got them though.
You got all 8.
Where some people are going to be in the other room.
I'll be okay being in the other room. We have to take down the curtains so that we can see each other.
Nah, curtain stays up. We just shout real loud.
Well, I mean, if we all had headphones, then that we could hear each other.
I mean, everyone would have to bring headphones.
I mean, I have headphones.
All right, guys, bring a headphone.
Bring headphones.
But what was our movie?
Our movie was Slash. I will let you do a quick synopsis of it.
Okay. The movie starts out in a sci-fi setting, but a narrator who sounds like a teen. You also know what the movie's about. Clearly, this is a fan fiction that someone is writing. It turns into Slash real quick, and then it comes out, and we see a boy typing away, or writing?
Typing away.
Typing away at this fanfic of kind of like Starship Troopers meets Star Trek meets Halo. Kind of like a collection of those, maybe a little Borderlands, of just this original sci-fi made just specifically for this movie called Vanguard. And he's writing those fanfic. He goes to school. Someone finds his notebook with all his notes and other writings for Vanguard. He's made fun of. He meets this girl who is also like, oh man, I love reading or typing up elf fanfic. They form a bond because they love this stuff. We think they have a thing for each other. They don't know about their own sexuality. This was a perfect encapsulation of a high school relationship. Yep. We'll get more into that later. Then they go to a fan fiction convention.
They go
where
to Comic-Con, and there's also a subset of it for this erotic fiction website that they
the rabbit hole.
On. Yeah.
They have a live reading for like the best of the best that year. And he's invited by someone who's Michael Ian Black. He's 15. Michael Ian Black's 30 some.
38.
Yes. And he's lying about his age, Mr. 15-year-old. They end up smooching. And then he's like, wait, you're 15? Oh, shoot. He tries to be like nice to him and give him advice. But then the night before, Julia, that's the girl's name. And what's the kid's name?
Neil.
Neil, they like smooched well on Molly or did more stuff. We don't know. But then they're fighting. We find out that he's in the reading. He tries to do the reading, but this mean lady says, he's 15. No longer gets that way. And then he tells the audience as well that Julia didn't get into the
She didn't get the last spot in the live rating because he told Dennis,
Michael Ian Black,
that she was 16 and he was 18.
The story kind of ends with them drifting apart a month later, but still like giving a wink in the hallway.
Yeah, Julia has completely reinvented herself, but her friend, Martine, who is very pregnant, is still friends with Neil. Then she's like, Julia will come around. It's fine. And he's just like, smug grin. And then it ends.
Yeah. Okay. But let's get to the part where they're just trying to, like, they clearly want to be in a relationship with each other. And they're, like, making up lies to justify the relationship, but also to not justify the relationship of saying, like, hey, man, I'm cool if you're gay because I think I'm a lesbian. But then he's like, no, I love you, but I think I am gay. And it's like, no, just you can be in love with each other. Just be in love with each other.
Yeah, queer people exist on a spectrum. Like,
you don't need to define yourself to define the relationship. Just be in love.
Yeah, and it doesn't make you any less queer. So, yeah, every single review is like, oh, it's very low budget, blah, blah, blah. And I did not see anything low budget about it. There was nothing low budget. Like, they went into space. They had Angela from The Office. They had Michael Ian Black. They had that guy from Orange is the New Black that plays I don't remember his fucking name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
They have a lot of people in there that are recognizable. And the guy that plays the main character, Neil, I think that's his name. If I got his name wrong.
I think that's his name.
He is on Teen Wolf. Like, he's a he's like a named character that, like, lives on Teen Wolf, which is surprising.
Who wrote this? Because maybe that will tell us why all these great people were in it.
Let's see.
Because I think there was another person from the state, possibly, or maybe Kids in the Hall. He was in the sci-fi area. He was the guy who started, like, massaging the tip of his own penis.
What?
I think you were taking notes during that.
The fuck?
Yeah, man, you missed out. You couldn't see anything. It was above pants.
I don't like that.
Okay, fine. Guys, I'm doing it right now. Wonder if Corwin likes this. I'm really not doing that. That would be overstepping so many boundaries.
Clay Lifford wrote this. I don't see anything that I immediately recognize from their... Yeah, so I don't know. But it had a lot of noteworthy-esque people in it. Obviously not like Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt or like any like
you
easily
just
named
so
star.
Obsessed with Brangelina.
But... But it had people that you, if you've seen, you know, Teen Wolf and things like that, or Orange is the New Black, like you'll recognize people from the movie.
Orange is the new Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black.
Yeah. Corwin, do you think Angelina Jolie's an A-list star anymore?
I think she's an icon.
Okay. I wasn't sure because the last thing I remember her was in like that Honey or Sugar movie.
Salt?
Yes, yeah, Salt. I knew it was a food product that you put on top of things.
I don't know. That was just the first name that came to my mind when I was thinking of like big stars.
Now, Brad Pitt, A-list star for life, which isn't going to be long. I can see the future, Corwin. What if that's why it was a shitty week? I found out I could tell the future and just everything's bad.
I mean, it doesn't take foresight to know that everything's bad.
Or I'm like, oh, things do turn out pretty well, but not in a way I want them to.
It's like you don't need a prophet to see the state of the world at the moment.
Guys, we're fine. The lamestream media is trying to tell you about climate change. It's a lie. It's a myth. The world, since its beginning, has always been warming and cooling. Remember the Ice Age? People made it through that. Remember dinosaur times? Freaking Fred Flintstone wasn't around any snow. Remember George Jetson? You know why they're all the way up top, right? The whole friggin' world flooded and they're fine.
Aren't they supposed to be from like 2001?
No. So I think the original story never told what year it was, but in Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, they wrote that in.
And then he like looks at the calendar and it's like past that.
Yeah. It's either past that or in like 2 years. And was like, how do we get from here to here? And, oh, wow, the earth has flooded.
Great jokes. Yeah. So anyway, I feel like a lot of our, at least vocal fan, like C would love this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
There are a lot of people that I honestly enjoyed this movie.
I would have fucking loved it if, like I said, my week and specifically day hadn't been so shitty.
Yeah, this is definitely, as far as like quality, one of the top ones we've seen. It had its moments where it was a little slower, but for the most part, I loved the acting. I loved everything about it. There wasn't a lot that I hated. I love that there was a Call Me By Your Name moment, and the older dude, Michael Ian Black, was like, no. And shut it down and then was like, here's some advice.
What's the plot of that?
Call Me By Your Name. Yeah. We'll watch it eventually.
Okay, guys. But I'm plugging my ears.
It's basically an older man getting with a younger man.
Okay.
And one of them's underage.
The older man is underage.
Of course.
Oh, guys. Older men, quit being underage.
So, yeah, there's a lot of moments that we can talk about in this. And we just don't have all the time. So that's wonderful. So, one thing... The Michael Ian Black's character, Dennis, talking to Neil after Neil posted his fanfic and being like, hey, I liked your fanfic. I like what you wrote.
Oh, yeah,
you liked all. You liked a lot of my stuff, or you liked my last story. And then he just suddenly is like, do you like fat dicks?
And then Neil just closes it right away.
Just shut his computer. I was like, yes, I've had some moments like that. Where
Corwin
I'm like closed.
Even before he said the fat dick, was like, you need to close that immediately. Just when the first IM popped up.
Yeah, I was like, close that. Close that. It's going to be someone way older creeping on you. But it is for an 18 and over site. So definitely close it. And Neil shouldn't be on that site because he's 15.
Yeah, that is a weird thing about... Like, Neil originally didn't want to publish on that website because he wasn't 18.
Yeah, and Julia pushed him into it. Which Julia was... She was... I didn't like her too much.
Yeah.
I didn't like her.
Because, so my thing with that is, like, it makes sense. If people are going to be masturbating to this, I mean, like, essentially are thinking about it, it's erotica. It's supposed to arouse. It is kind of fucked up to just all of a sudden have one that you don't know is written by a 15-year-old and then you're spanking it.
Yeah.
It's real weird.
So the thing about I wish we need to watch that movie, but we need to watch it with guests because I have a lot to say about it. So the thing about that is like a lot of people defend that movie because they're like, oh, well, the age of consent is different in Italy. And then, oh, the younger one is the aggressive one, so it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And we see in this movie that Neil was aggressive in the sense that, like, trying to get Michael Ian Black to kiss him and you know, all that stuff. And Dennis did the right thing in saying, no, we're not doing that. So, like, even if you have someone younger that is being aggressive sexually and all that, you as the adult, you as the older person that is mature, needs to be like, no. This isn't happening.
Yeah, I'm shutting it down.
Yeah, so they did that. And I'm proud of the movie for doing that.
I was even like, oh man, he has an inkling that he's underage. I was like, why are you bringing him to a private location?
Private location, yeah. I didn't like that, but he did stop it. So that was good. But maybe don't go to a private location.
But he would have kept going. I think he would have kept going if he had still lied, Neil, and said, no, I'm 18. Because it was pretty much like, well, how he voiced when he said, hey, please tell me your age. It was like, okay, well, if he says he's 18, I'm in the good. Even though he has clear, what's the word I'm looking for? Reservations or clear indications that he is not 18.
And this goes back to you need to have and also be an enthusiastic yes for sex. Consent's important. And someone that is 15 can't properly give consent, so don't go further with that. Don't do that.
Even a kiss, it's too far. Unless
too far.
No, there is no unless.
Unless you're their father and you're giving them a kiss on the forehead and sending them off to school.
Also, dads, don't kiss your sons on the lips. Also, moms, don't kiss your sons on the lips. Hey, dads, again, I'm talking to you. Don't kiss your daughters on the lips. And oh, moms, yeah, this one's specifically for you. Don't kiss your daughters on the lips.
I do think that's a little weird, but also, I'm not a parent. But also, I do think that's a little weird.
Parents are weird, guys.
Parents are weird,
hey,
guys.
To you parents out there, why'd you do it?
Why are you being weird?
No, that's actually like, why did you become parents? And also, why'd you do it to become parents?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it has a double meaning.
Double entendre?
Yeah, double Aunt Andre, as TC says.
They were doing a play in the school, and Neil is a tech guy for it, but I don't know what he does because he's
literally
just sitting against the wall the whole time.
Like, it seems like he's only there to fill in for someone because that's the only...
But then he'd probably be sitting in the audience at that point, not behind the stage.
Oh, I don't know.
So yeah, he's like sitting behind the set, I guess, as part of the crew, and gets asked to fill in for a girl for this scene with the guy that he was
crushing on a little.
Crushing on. Yeah, he was eyeballing him and then sent him a story later, which I was wondering where that would go. It went nowhere.
Not nowhere
it
at
went,
all.
It went into him sending the story because the guy was like, oh, yeah, I want to read your stuff. And then the guy sharing it with his girlfriend or... the girl that he was in the show with, and she being like, you know, he's straight, right? And then the guy is just like looking at Neil like, Neil, don't run away, please.
I thought that story he sent with the doc was going to Dennis.
No.
Okay.
No, that went to the guy.
Okay, that's why it was a school address.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense. Can I ask you, from someone who is in stage theater acting,
sure,
what was that tech person complaining about the lady doing?
He was complaining because she was, instead of going back and like trying to get the scene right, she was just being like, why is this taking so long? I have a test to do. And just being kind of bitchy about it. And he's like, we need to get this fucking shit right. Come
well,
on.
No, before that, he came in and said, like, you're not doing it right, or like you're going too far or something. Oh, was she skipping ahead?
No, I think that he was talking about some tech element.
Yeah, that's I couldn't figure it out.
I don't remember what was happening. I tune all of that out because I'm like, if I'm on stage and something's trying to happen with tech, I just need to keep doing my part.
Oh, man, where's Summer Sanders and Billy the Answerhead when you need something figured out?
I thought it was something to do with lighting, that they were trying to, you know, get the lighting cue right.
Yeah, it had to be something like that. Or maybe she wasn't in the right spot. Maybe she wasn't. I think she was supposed to be facing out to the audience instead of facing towards the camera.
No, they wouldn't be able to have a fill-in for her to fix that.
I don't know, guys. If you watch this movie and you have opinions, let us know about this specific element at This Movie's Gay.
And that was so funny that he filled in for that specific scene, since it was there was a double entendre and all of that with the guy that he's crushing on, who is wearing a fat suit thing.
I think he's supposed to be a dad.
I don't know. He just like took that off and Neil was just like,
Do we know?
And then he like the dude like grabbed his arm and just like was like, oh God, I wrote it down. This is why I always like talking to you. You always make me feel better, or you always make me feel good, or something like that.
Oh, that's after he didn't he say that after he said, no, you did great today.
That was, yeah, that because he was talking about the accent and all that. And Neil was like, you did great.
Okay, anyone also listening, if you know what play they were doing, let us know.
I feel like I could figure it out. I just have to watch it again.
Oh, man, again, Billy the Answerhead, Summer Sanders, Danny Tamborelli, we need your help, Amanda Bynes.
Oh, he said, that's why I like you, man. You always make me feel better.
That's why I like you, Cor, when you hugged me once.
One time.
So Neil is hanging out with Julia and she gives him a friggin' joint and he like inhales it and he's like about to cough and he's like, it tastes like dank stank in my mouth. He doesn't really say that, but he got stoned after one hit. Unless we're led to believe that he was smoking more throughout it, but I think he just one hit insanely high. And he says, I'm so stoned, which becomes his catchphrase because when he does Molly at the convention, he goes back and says, I'm so stoned on acid. I mean, on Molly. If I knew someone named Molly, I wouldn't bring up the drug because they've probably heard that before.
Can we talk about how...
We can talk about anything you'd like.
So the students took his notebook. He didn't get it back. They kept passing it around. And then the teacher finally like got it. And he had to go to a counselor for his erotic fiction. I
would have liked to see more of that, too.
He was sent to a counselor for his erotic fiction? That's so bizarre to me.
I think at 15, to be like, hey, I just want you to know, because it was so explicit.
It was very explicit,
I think,
I guess.
That's why.
Yeah. Okay, because I was like... Wow, I feel like if that was found like in school in my day, it would have been, don't bring that to school anymore.
Yeah.
And just like judgmental, not let's get you a counselor.
Yeah, I think if it was a note just saying, God, I really want to masturbate right now, they would have been like, please don't pass those notes in school.
You need a counselor.
It smells like sweat in here. That was one of my favorite lines. Neil's sister says that after they're about to make out, Julia and Neil. I also really loved one of the editors or moderators from the rabbit hole in this scene,
yeah,
where Ronnie, the Brady Bunch person and mean moderator, she says, I bet you're 15 or not 18 because you're writing like you have never had sex before. And one of the other editors goes, I doubt any of our writers have had sex before.
Ronnie was writing fanfic about Brady Bunch characters. That was gross.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, Ronnie. Why are you doing that?
I don't want to repeat it, but she defends her writing of just...
writing about 12-year-olds.
And then, I didn't want to say it. Neil says, hey, you're... if I'm 15 and writing about mature people, like, I thought you wouldn't mind something like that because you do write this. And she says, yeah, I'm fine with it as long as it's written elegantly or whatever she says. And it's like, that's... You understand that's not a defense of what you're doing, right?
She was fucked up.
That would be like, hey, guys, I'm murdering people, but I'm doing it in like a really artful way. And it's like, no, that's not a defense.
Still murdering people. So Julia said she liked it about his writing erotic fan fiction. So that's when they sort of hit it off. He goes home and Googles Julia and finds pictures of her. When I was in high school, if I Googled any of like my classmates, nothing would come up for them. Is this a new thing?
Maybe. If you Googled when I was in high school, James McCollum Muskegon, an article of me at a town meeting explaining like, no, kids aren't going to want to go to church groups to hang out. This was after friends of mine died in a car crash. And as a way to like, hey, there's a place for us to hang out, this church, because... at churches, like, everyone's not feeling open. And I say, like, me, I identify as a Satanist and blah, blah, blah. There was someone from the paper there and quoted me saying that. And then, like, my fucking aunt was like, you know, my last name's McCollum, and, you know, people are going to ask me about that when they see this. And I was like, we do not live in a small town. You don't need to worry about it. And also, quite frankly, fuck off, dude. I didn't say that part, but the 16-year-old version of saying, hey, fuck off. That's what I said to her.
Like, you can Google me and find me. That's a thing. But how do you Google someone that has a more common name? Like, my name is very uncommon.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, you can Google me. There's things. Yeah.
My name is so common that 4 people in my family also have it. And I'm not even a junior.
Yeah. So when he was doing that, I was like, what? What the fuck? Just Googling her and finding her shit. Googling her and finding her writing to her email and all of that. What?
But he did include the high school that they went to. So that was able to narrow it down. And then the second one, he, I think, quoted her name and then put Elf.
If she was putting like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to look this up.
Also with that boyfriend, I think he was doing like a You Got Posted type deal. It seemed like.
He seemed creepy.
He did have one of my favorite lines and seems like a really fun time. This was his idea of like, hey, do you want to like hang out? Their version of Netflix and chill was, hey, do you want to go to the Sub Shop Footlongers? We can go back to my house and watch Celebrity Apprentice. Yes, it is in my mom's basement, but I got weed.
Oh my God.
Man, I need a week like that.
But their friend Martine was my favorite. She's the pregnant one. She was great. When Julia ditched him, Julia ditched Neil going to the Comic Con because she didn't get the slot for reading her fanfic. Martine just shows up at Neil's house and it's like, he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I'm here to drive you. And then she drives him and she's like, I feel so bad. You're all dressed up. She's going. So she drives and finds Julia and just lays on the horn and is like, nah.
She also says, I feel ownership over you. Like, I feel responsible for you because she feels that she made Julia the way she is.
Yeah.
In a sense, because it's like, oh, Julia changed for me and realized like, oh, that works. If there's someone who I feel I want to be around, just change myself. And then I'm cool. By them.
We see that's Julia's whole personality. Yeah. At the end, she's a completely different person. And that was shortly after being like, Neil, I think I'm a lesbian. And then she's with another dude.
Again, I think she was only saying that dude, because she was like, oh, if he's gay, and I'm a lesbian. She says that cancels each other out.
Which didn't make any goddamn sense to
me. It makes sense if you're thinking of as a high schooler.
If you're thinking
it
as a high schooler.
It makes complete sense. I will tell you, as a high schooler, this will make sense. I was like, yeah, man, like it cancels each other out. Like one, because, you know, like as a kid, you're like, well, a normal relationship is one person who likes a man and one person who likes a woman. So if they're both gay and one's a man, one's a woman, yeah, man, that's a normal relationship.
That's a friendship.
It is, guys. But hey, friendship, you can like guys and it's still fine.
So we're close to 45, so let's just rattle through some notes.
Her first blog was called Clitora Majora. I don't know if you got that.
She read her fanfic out loud in class and was told, nope, stop, that's not the assignment.
That was not fanfic. That was just...
It was something that she said happened to her, but she wrote it in a fanfic style.
It was an R-word fantasy.
Yeah, and an R-rated fantasy.
Oh, yes, but the R-word, but not the R-word for that used to be derogatory for the mentally disabled. The other R-word.
Oh.
She had a gun towards her back, and the dude said, get on all fours.
For a second, I existed in a place where that didn't exist, and I was happy.
Oh.
And now I'm back in reality.
Sorry.
Damn.
Don't blame me. Blame the movie.
It's like, what?
But yeah, she straight up read that, and she's pissed that the teacher said, please stop. You can't read that in high school.
I have a note that I can't figure out what it fucking says. It's right after reading the fanfic out loud, and then it just says, and the one right after that is where the actor dude was like, that's why I like you, man. And it's just in there, and it just looks like it says, the homecome Betty.
The homecome Betty?
I have no fucking clue. I don't know what I wrote.
You have so many of those notes.
That's so funny. Julie says that all girls are bisexual. Hot take from a high schooler.
Hey, it makes sense from a high school standpoint. I would like to bring up that in Vanguard, I believe was the science fiction.
Yeah.
When, what's the girl's name?
Julia.
Julia. I was for some reason thinking Lori or Laura. When Julia's reading it, she's like, wow, do they really have space bikinis? And he's like, they're ceremonial. Just don't read into it. And then she's like, well, I guess... At least there are women in the story.
Hey, we need diversity.
Yeah.
He texts like an 80-year-old.
No, he does not.
He's like, let's use all proper grammar.
Yes, that's how you should be texting,
no.
IMing, emailing, whatever.
Never!
Corwin, there was a note that we both wrote down. Oh, about him. Did we already talk about...
Before we get into that, how long did you take to get off book? Fuck you, I have dyslexia. That was a funny moment.
And then she's seen reading his fan fiction,
yeah.
And I go, how's she reading that?
How's she reading that?
Corwin told
dyslexia.
Me, Corwin told me to write that down, and I was like, I don't know if that's mean to people with dyslexia, but they seem like a fine bunch.
There are fonts that are made specifically for people that do have dyslexia so that it's easier for them to read.
Nice. Maybe her iPad's
Verdana
on that.
Is one of those. Maybe.
I don't know.
Was whenever she was like, you know, he's straight, right? And then Jack, the guy that Neil was crushing on, was just like, Jack. Just not his own name. He was like, Neil.
Was that a Titanic reference?
No.
Oh, just how your hand was out. It looked like someone
he was
falling
reaching,
into
yeah,
water.
He was like, Neil, please let me sit on that fucking door with you. There's enough room.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sit on that fucking face. And I was like, whoa, Corwin.
No, I would never. Are you crying? No, I'm pretty sure you're crying.
Corwin said that to me today.
Sorry, I was like, are you? Wait, you're crying. Oh, God. Emotions. I have to deal with someone having human emotions. What is this?
Hey, you got that new update software. Come on, man. You got that new patch. Remember, guys, Corwin's a robot.
The parents found his fanfic and they talked about getting him some books and things that had intelligent prose on human sexuality. And he goes, ew, no. What do you mean intelligent?
Yeah. Which, was his dad a writer?
I don't think
because
so.
Because how he was talking seemed like he was a writer.
But then Julia had dinner with his parents and his family, and she was fucking weird at that dinner. She was just fucking out there.
It was
weird
as
fuck.
She was a 27-year-old.
It was as if she was, like, someone's sister and, like, antagonizing them.
Yes.
Not... oh, I'm sort of your son's friend, and I'm just going to say some real weird shit, y'all. That's why I thought that she stole the mom's credit card, because I was like, I would not put it fucking past her.
Yes, Corwin was writing a note while they were explaining, like, hey, the sister to Neil said, hey, mom and dad know mom's here, that you slept in the same room, the same hotel room. Her mom called. Did you guys steal her credit card? So Corwin thought Julia had stolen Neil's mom's credit card, which would have been a flex for real.
And Julia's weird as fuck, so I thought that happened. And then I also, Julia says, you don't get it, to Neil. And he's like, yeah, I don't. It's like, yeah, why do people say that? I fucking hate that trope when someone's like, you don't get it. Of course they don't. Explain it. Stop just complaining and running away. I hate it.
Yeah, he was always, Neil was always pre-cry, and I don't think he ever cried, Neil, but then...
He did cry that one moment.
Okay, but. And then Julia was always either extreme confidence or just straight up crying.
Yeah, and she had that moment where they were on drugs in the hotel room and writing about each other or whatever. She, in the morning, Neil wakes up by himself, and she had just ripped up all the notes, thrown it away, and then disappeared. She wasn't answering Neil's phone calls or anything. So that's when Neil went and found Dennis. And she's like, I was just getting a critique. And it's like, you just completely fucking abandoned him after he had an emotional moment with you, a romantic moment with you. You just abandoned him. And he's still trying to figure out his sexuality and all this shit. And you're like, bye. And then immediately after, when he goes to Dennis... she's calling him, stalking him, and all that. Julia, that wasn't cool.
I mean, though,
yes, he should not have gone to Dennis because Dennis was much older and he was lying about his age. But also, Julia, like, calling him and then following him to the rabbit hole area and then the restaurant and all that. Like, why are you being a creep, Julia?
I think why she was following him wasn't to be, like, jealous. Was, like, I don't think you should be hanging out with this Dennis person because he does seem much older.
Yes.
And in the long run, it does work out in their favor because she sees how mean Ronnie is, the Brady Bunch lady.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm just talking about specifically like her character, like her being like, oh, I'm just going to completely ignore you when you call me. And then when you completely ignore me when I call you, I'm going to follow you and everything.
Also, like, Ronnie was talking about how fan fiction written about juvenile fiction will attract juvenile attention. So you need to write from like intelligent things or more mature things. But she's writing Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch is a show about six children and their dog who hang out with a nanny who's kind of wisecracking, and then their mom and dad who are kind of never there. That is a children's show.
Yeah, Ronnie was fucked up, y'all.
Ronnie just, she's dumb, she's pretentious, and we don't like you. Bye-bye, Ronnie.
The dad saying, Neil, your friends are multiplying, and Martine being like, is that a pregnancy joke?
Yeah.
the dad's like, no, I just... my son just has no friends.
Yeah, it's so sad. Let's get to that last note, and I have one starred note.
Yeah. I actually can't find that. I've been trying to find it. I did find it. I have Ronnie's a dick. This is not Call Me By Your Name, bitch. Julia calling him.
Corwin, just get to the note.
Oh, my God. I lost it.
Oh, just had it.
The guy saying, they're talking about different fics, and he goes, I called my mom, and I read it out loud.
That wasn't the note that I'm talking about.
That's so funny. And then I think you want to be queer to fit in to a group, even if it's small. That was the note.
And what do you think about that?
I don't think any, like, and he said, why would anyone want to be queer? And that's a real thing that a lot of people experience when they're going and finding out about it themselves is, why would anyone want to be queer? Because you don't fit in and you're ostracized and all this terrible shit. So like, why would you want to be queer? So I just thought it was weird advice.
I resonate with that because it's like, if you've listened to my other podcasts, you know that I used to be a juggalo. And it's the same thing. It's that same mentality of like, people are going to make fun of you. People are going to fucking hate you. It's still to this day. If I were still a juggalo, people would be like, oh, James smokes meth. That's what people think of juggalos. But when you're that young, you feel like a nerd. You don't have anywhere to belong. It's like, yeah, I want to be in this weird small community because I want somewhere to belong.
But I don't think it was him like wanting to be queer in the sense, because I think he just was queer. And that's my whole point. If you're queer, you're queer. That's what it is. Because we see all these moments. He's writing an erotic fan fiction about Vanguard, another guy, which, yeah, anyone can write erotic fan fiction and not be gay. That's totally fine. But he also seemed to have a crush on the lead actor dude, Zach. And then this weird thing with Dennis, even though Dennis was much older, that still happens, that weird thing where you're like, oh, this person's, you know, out and proud. And I think he was definitely queer. I don't think it was him trying to be queer to fit in. I think he just was. And trying to figure out what sort of aspect of queerness he had.
I did also take it as like this community of fan fiction, specifically with this person, is like, if I'm queer, I might fit in more. Maybe that's also how he was putting it. I took it as multiple things instead of just like, oh, kid, you want to be queer just to be someone who fits in into like the queer umbrella. And I took it more as like, to be in this community, he would have to be a certain way, or thought he would have to be a certain way. I don't know. I guess that line, we can dissect a lot.
That line was weird. I didn't think it made sense much. But, I mean, also, you see later he goes to do the reading and Dennis sees him and lets him go do the reading knowing that he's 15, because Dennis had that moment of giving him advice to, like, be yourself, focus on your writing, all this other shit, all the sexuality, all of that will fall into place, which was good advice. Do your writing. Everything else will be fine. Live your life. Everything else will fall into place.
Unless you've been writing for 13 years and nothing's really coming out of it, Corwin.
I mean, there are so many very widely successful people that didn't get successful until later in life.
Oh, fingers crossed, Corwin. Like, fingers freaking crossed.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people, so many examples. I don't think J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter until she was older. Oprah got fired before she was successful. Like, there are so many. Tina Fey had issues too before she was successful. Like, a lot of people that are huge success stories have, you know, had struggles trying to do what they love to
do. But I want to be like Connor Oberst. You're like, James, that passed 14 years ago.
James, I have no idea.
Do you know Bright Eyes?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind. Hey, guys, anyone who loves Bright Eyes and loves like Fevers and Mirrors, he was like 19 when he did that entire album. So if you think haven't done anything in your life, I'm very sorry that I just made it worse.
All right. My last note is Neil writing fan fiction at the end and Martine getting it and being like, well, you think I'm too dumb to read it or something like that.
Yeah.
And the fan fiction he's writing is about Vanguard, you know, being at the end of his life and, you know, just trying to settle down and be happy. And he buys curtains from Pottery Barn, which is a reference to earlier in the movie. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
A line that also resonated with me was Julia being upset that she has had 500 things on this website and she hasn't gotten any exposure from it. And then she is glad, like, hey, dude, you broke through. You have a few things and you're already
one thing on the
popular
website, and he's already popular.
Like, if any of my friends who were doing, like, if Nick Foster all of a sudden, like, he posted something and it just blew up, I'd be like, hell yes. However, like, I would still be like, man, or I guess I'm older and I'm like, oh, well, I work with Nick. He might, like, throw me a bone and say, like, hey, get on this next track. But it totally resonated with me, especially because in Muskegon, this is one of the things that also made me have a super shit week. This dude who graduated one grade above me from the same high school, I guess just got out of prison. And his versions of a prison tattoo are, I don't even know how to explain it. Okay, you know, like a pencil thin mustache?
Yeah.
Picture that width, but as a goatee, but it's tattooed on. And he came out and was like, yo, man, I'm going to rap. And he just went fucking viral because he's so bad at rapping. And he is so captivating to watch because of that pencil thin tattooed goatee, like a chin strap goatee as well. That I should have also. So it goes from his ears down his chin, goes to goatee up to a mustache. And it's like also very boxy. It's just batshit.
Oh, Jesus.
This video of him doing like this very poorly done freestyle has like 150,000 views. And I can't even get 150. Guys, my birthday's coming up, September 30th. Please, it's a Monday, so I'll also tell it on that episode. Just, like, listen to my music. Tell a friend about this podcast. That's going to be the greatest birthday gift ever. And speaking of other podcasts and stuff to plug, Corwin. Oh, wait, and I would recommend this movie.
I would absolutely recommend this movie. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Ooh, and wonder how high it's going to be on our top 50 of the year. And by our, I mean mine, when I make that list in a few weeks.
I'll be making the list too. I did want to do that. I was confused and thought you wanted to rewatch a certain movie that I do not want to rewatch.
Gay Bed and Breakfast of Hell, baby. Oh no, Gay Bed and Breakfast of Terror.
You got the name
wrong. I've had a bad week. Nicole and I will do that for a bonus episode. I think we'll even bring like Lil Corey on.
Oh my God. So, yeah, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all of that, at This Movie's Gay. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, all of that, at CoreWinning. It's my name with ING at the end. And follow my theater company, Saltbox Theater Collective. We'll be doing shows soon.
Yeah. Hey, guys, would you like to hear me other times of the week, such as Tuesday, What the Hell Mouth, Wednesday, Hit It and Crit It, and Thursday, Mostly Speaking Sentai? Go to MLMPod.com for more information on those, or wherever you're listening to this, give it a search and you'll find those podcasts. Also, listen to my rap music. You can download all of my albums for free on MLMPod.com/Marshland Monster. You can also find me on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Facebook, Marshland Monster.
One last plug that I forgot about. I was just on a friend's podcast that James recorded called Whenever You're Ready. So go listen to
With
past guest Warren. So, and his wife, his lovely wife, Amanda. So they have a podcast. They're starting Whenever You're Ready. I'm the first guest. It's basically them interviewing me about being an artist and an actor and all of that in my life. So go listen. You'll learn.
It is also recorded and edited by me. So it's of the same quality. You don't have to be like, ooh, what's it going to sound like?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, guys. I've been James.
I've been Corwin.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.